Hello, and welcome to Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, a discussion of progressive issues of faith and action, coming to you in the 75th anniversary year of WESU 88.1 FM Middletown and WESUFM.org, and repeated on UConn's WHUS 91.7 FM stores and WHUS.org, UConn's Radio for the People. I'm Maria Johnson. Today, the day of an important funeral, and as it happens, on the Feast of the Epiphany, we have with us three wise men, a jurist, a scholar, and in spirit, a political leader, Mario Cuomo, who died last week at age 82. Both of our guests, retired Chief Justice of the Rhode Island Supreme Court Frank J. Williams, and author and former policy advisor and spokesman for Governor Cuomo, Harold Holzer, co-wrote or co-edited books with Governor Cuomo on the subject of Abraham Lincoln, who inspired them. In the midst of their grieving for their good friend, they honor us with their presence as they honor Governor Cuomo by sharing their favorite memories of their friend and colleague, who took his Catholic faith seriously and put it into action by his lifelong striving for social justice, for not just his New York constituents, but for the nation. Before we greet Harold Holzer, I'd like to take just a moment to thank those of you who helped WESU bring its winter pledge drive to a successful close. Like Governor Cuomo, you walk the talk. If the spirit moves any of the rest of you to make a belated contribution, it will be cheerfully accepted and carefully spent on some much-needed upgrades to the WESU studio. Just go to WESUFM.org and click on Donate. This is Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith. Back in a moment with Harold Holzer.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Mr. Harold Holzer, thank you so much for coming on.
I'm glad to be with you. I wish it was under different circumstances, but glad to talk to you.
Yeah, I know how closely you worked with the governor and for so many years.
Right.
That this must be a terrible loss.
It's a terrible loss, and all of us who were close to him and his family were aware that it was imminent, but it shocks and hurts nonetheless, and as your listeners probably know, it came just hours after his son, our current governor here in New York, was sworn in for his second term. And so it was eerie, surreal almost, to hear the crowd, which contained many veterans of the Mario Cuomo years, being told that their old boss had heard the inaugural address and given it a thumbs up before he passed, and then be reminded that he was in our presence as if we didn't know, in our minds and in our hearts as the proceedings went forward. Amazing. Just, an unforgettable end to a great life.
Really. So true. So almost perfect, if there can be such a thing.
Exactly.
Well, I just guess I want to give you the opportunity to share some of your favorite memories of Governor Cuomo. Maybe we should start chronologically, though. What do you think?
I think that's the way to do it.
Okay. So how did you first come across the radar of the governor?
Okay. I'm not sure in his radar, but he was pretty sharp. So I remember vividly the day I met him. It was summer, you know, spring day, I guess, in 1977. That's going on 38 years.
Wow.
And I was the press secretary for Bella Abzug, the famous former congresswoman who was running for mayor of New York.
Wow.
And we were going to a mayoral debate, and somehow we got stuck in an elevator with Mario and his staff and Bella and her staff. It was a pretty crowded elevator. Mario and Bella were both big people. And as we're going up to the top, I had to open my big mouth and said, "Excuse me, Mr. Cuomo, that position paper you put out yesterday about turning garbage into gold, it was an early environmental idea. You burn garbage for energy, not just to get rid of it. Is repeats or copies, I may have said copies, something that we, meaning Bella, had issued a few months ago?" And he turned around, you know, it almost brushed me back against the wall of the elevator, and he said, "Excuse me," which is the characteristic way he would interrupt people in a very funny way. "Excuse me, what date did you put it out? Where did you put it out? Where was it published? Where would I find it? I would love to, you know, because it's absolutely wrong, totally wrong." And then he turned around. So that was my introduction. I got under his skin.
Well, did he think you were accusing him of plagiarizing?
Yeah, absolutely. I was. I was speaking up for my boss because she was complaining about it. This is my issue. This is my issue. Anyway, I did what I thought was the right thing to do at the time. He didn't buy it for a second. Anyway, cut to, and I'm sorry if this is going to take a little bit.
You have plenty of time.
The next debate was at Cooper Union.
Sure.
So I'm in Seventh Heaven because it's the site where Abraham Lincoln gave his most famous pre-presidential speech, and I was already a Lincoln student. I published, you know, some articles in scholarly journals and newspapers and magazines, so I was on my way. Nothing like my work now. I mean, it was just starting.
Right.
But, you know, Cooper Union was a shrine then. I had seen it years before when my cousin went there as a student. So here are all these great mayoral candidates lined up in chairs on the stage that Lincoln had used.
Wow.
Bella, Mario, Percy Sutton, Abraham Beam, Herman Badillo, and Bella. I mean, giants, really.
Right.
So they're having their debate. I'm sitting in the front row because I'm Bella's press secretary. In the middle of the debate, this man wildly runs down the center aisle with something in his arm and throws it toward the debaters who are on the stage is very high at Cooper Union, unusually high. And to do the climax first, it was a pie. It was a lemon pie, and it crashed into Bella and Beam, and they were, you know, filled with them with lemon meringue. But as the pie was in the air, I will swear for the rest of my days, Mario Cuomo was in the air, flying like a huge missile, landed on this man and brought him down. And I thought to myself, man, this is some impressive guy. Forget about the elevator. Imagine Lincoln dealing with a heckler by jumping off the Cooper Union stage.
Wow.
So I was dazzled. Okay, in July, late July, campaign is going badly, and Bella is clearly going down the tubes.
Yeah.
And in the first week of September, she loses. You have to come in. You have to win 40%. Nobody wins 40%.
Mm-hmm.
Bella is out of the running. Mario and Ed Koch are going to be in the runoff. I forgot to mention Ed Koch. He was on that stage, too.
Mm.
So I get a call from the man who had given me my very first job, former newspaper publisher. He said, "Mario wants to meet you," or I forget, "I want you to meet Mario." And he drove me out to Mario Cuomo's house in Queens in his car. We walked up the steps past the famous tree that he had helped plant with his father. And we sat in the living room. Mario Cuomo came out. There were about seven people there. We talked and we talked about what was to come in the next 10 days. I said I wanted to help. I didn't know he had three other press secretaries already working in the campaign. And he said, come with me. And he took me into his bedroom, and he sat me down on the bed, and he said, I like the way you work. I want you to be my press secretary.
Wow.
And went out to Queens. Didn't even know how to get into the headquarters. Walked up the back stairway where I encountered this big young guy wearing a T-shirt with a pack of Marlboros rolled up in the sleeve, you know, James Dean, Marlon Brando look. And he said, who are you? And I said, I'm Harold Holzer. And he said, oh, I'm Andrew Cuomo. I've heard a lot about you.
Oh.
And that was my introduction to Andrew Cuomo.
Wow.
Not very happy to see me. So anyway, it was 10 days of mayhem. We lost the campaign, but he stayed on the ballot as a Liberal Party candidate. And we ran from September to November as underdogs, had a wonderful time, and got to know each other really well. I then went to work for him in the Secretary of State's office. In 1983, when I was still working at public television, of course, had been in close contact with the governor, he called and asked me to join his administration, and I served as public affairs specialist for his economic development programs for the next 8 years.
This is an interview with Harold Holzer, a Lincoln scholar and friend and colleague of Governor Mario Cuomo, who died last week. This is Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, coming to you from Wesleyan University's WESU 88.1 FM Middletown, now in its 75th year of providing community radio that matters, and rebroadcast on the University of Connecticut's WHUS 91.7 FM Stores, UConn's radio for the people.
The greatest thing we shared, Mario Cuomo and I, was a love for Abraham Lincoln and several projects that we worked on together.
Talk about that. Did each of you have a different interest in Lincoln, or did you converge on that?
Well, we definitely converged, and I will tell you, it changed my life completely, because I was totally focused on Lincoln iconography, images of Abraham Lincoln, photographs, paintings, prints, and was writing about it. You know, I'd written a few books, three or four books by then, on Lincoln and Civil War images, which is an important field, I think, and we were really the first to be in it and producing books about it, so it was fun. And I was getting around, and, you know, but Mario Cuomo was focused on the words of Abraham Lincoln, of course. I mean, he was a wordsmith and an orator. He had received the collected works of Abraham Lincoln, 8 volumes worth, when he was a kid, or, you know, high school student or college student, from his sister, Marie. And, of course, in typical Mario Cuomo fashion, rather than use them as an essential reference tool, which is the way I use them, he read them from cover to cover.
Wow.
You know, 2 million words. And was really, you know, found something in it that he used for the rest of his life. Lincoln's Fragment on Government from circa 1854. And it's in his inaugural address as governor. And we're getting an incoming call, too. Let me just get that. Can I put you on hold?
Yeah, that's fine. Don't worry.
A reporter from Syracuse.
Oh, wow.
The Lincoln quote is, "The legitimate object of government is to do for a community of people whatever they need to have done but cannot do at all or so well for themselves in their individual capacities." And out of that, Cuomo called for no more than the government we need, but all the government we need. And it was his riff on Lincoln's policy of where a strong executive and a strong government was imperative. And so I'm toiling away and doing my job, traveling all around the state with the governor and introducing new economic projects, and that's my job, you know, and that's what we talk about, and we talk about his own speeches. But one day he calls me and says, "The Solidarity Teachers of Poland just came to visit me." This is 1993. Mm. And It was the union representatives of the Solidarność Union, and they said to me, "We need books for our bookshelves. The Russians stripped books on democracy from our bookshelves. We need to teach our students about free choice." They had made it no clue. And Governor said, "What can we do for you? What can we give you?" And they say, "Well, we know you like Lincoln. Give us Lincoln." And he called me up and he said, "We could buy 500 or 1,000 copies of some book. You could tell me what book it could be. Is there a small volume of the speeches of Abraham Lincoln?" And I said, "Sure, there are different versions edited by Don Fehrenbacher, by this guy, by that guy." He said, "I have a better idea. We should do our own. We should focus it on the subjects of freedom, equality, and opportunity." I love the way he said opportunity with a long mark over the U, opportunity. He said, "You have the friends in the field. Get together the best people. I'll bring them into New York City. We'll have a meeting at the World Trade Center, the old World Trade Center." Yeah. I stood in the new building, just on New Year's Day to watch the inauguration in the same building. So we met in the governor's office, and who was there? The great scholars, some of them now gone, the late Hans Treyfus, the late William Gnapp of Harvard, the late LaWanda Cox of New York City, Mark Neely, James McPherson, and my best friend in the Lincoln world, Frank Williams, who was then an attorney, but a great collector and a leader of Lincoln organizations, and the late Richard Nelson Curran, one of our heroes. And we all sat around and shot the breeze and talked Lincoln. Governor loved talking about Lincoln. And then I organized the book, assigned a chronological chapter of Lincoln's life to each of the scholars. Frank Williams wrote the afterword. Governor and I wrote the introduction.
You had it translated into Polish.
We did the English text, and it wasn't just translated into Polish. We had to get the very best translators in the world. Wow. And the Gettysburg Address was translated by Czesław Miłosz, who was a Nobel Prize-winning poet. And that must read as exquisite poetry in the Polish language. Published them both at the same, got an English publisher, had a major opening in Albany, a conference. And the rest is history, to use a cliche. It's been published in Japanese, Hebrew, Indonesian, and Korean. The only thing we missed was Arabic, and boy, would I love. Yeah. And he wanted that so much, so that it was in it. You know, there was some, chance for those expressions on freedom and equality to penetrate that world.
These books were given away in Poland.
We printed thousands of copies and gave them to Poland. And I will tell you a story you mentioned giving away. This is a story about Mario Cuomo's in perfect integrity. He's the most honest man I ever met in my life.
Oh, you're going to make me cry.
I know. So we're ready to do the book. He said, "How are you going to do this? He's very impatient. You know,
yeah.
He worked all the time. He wanted us to work all the time. He used to call me at 6:30 in the morning and say, 'Aren't you awake?' Things like that. Anyway, I said, "Gov, I'm trying to think of how to do it." He said, "Well, I'll give you two choices." He said, "If you do it on weekends, then when we sign the contract, you can get half of the royalty. I'm not going to accept the royalty, but you can get half of it and enjoy it. Maybe the book will be a success. Maybe you can send your daughters to college with the book. God bless." He said, "But if you do it on state time, then the state gets both of our royalties." Mm-hmm. I said, "Well, I don't think I can write on weekends." I hadn't perfected that technique yet, which I've done ever since, because
right.
I learned my lesson. I said, I better take, 4 weeks, reluctantly, because we had a great time together every day, too. He said, "Okay." I took 4 weeks off. We did a really good book. You know, we talked almost every day because there were no fax machines. There was a state pouch that went back and forth in a day and a half. And, of course, it's the best-selling book I ever was involved with. And produced the most royalties. And
you could have sent your daughters to grad school, too.
Happily. Thankfully, they did mostly their own grad school.
Okay.
But yes, it's so. And people say, you know, that must have been very successful for you. I said it was very successful for the next administration because the Pataki administration got some of the money.
Wow.
But isn't that a mark of his absolute integrity?
You're listening to an interview with Harold Holzer, a Lincoln scholar and longtime colleague of Governor Cuomo, sharing his memories of the man. This is Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, coming to you from Wesleyan University's WESU 88.1 FM Middletown and rebroadcast on the University of Connecticut's WHUS 91.7 FM stores.
Many dogs and cats spend endless days indoors staring at the wall, living for the moment when you will come home and tell them you love them, take them out, and make a fuss over them. Dogs and cats need physical exercise and mental stimulation, things to do and think about in order to be healthy and happy. Please set time aside for them and give them a real life and real love. For more information, please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals at 757-622-PETA. Or helpinganimals.com. That's helpinganimals.com.
Anybody here seen my old friend Abraham? Can you tell me where he's gone? Oh, he freed a lot of people, but the good.
Back now to our interview with Harold Holzer, who knew Governor Mario Cuomo well and who is sharing some of his memories of the governor who died last week. This is Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith. Thanks for listening.
And then we worked on another book project 10 years later, Why Lincoln Matters. By then, we each had a home fax. And he was a great writer, and I presumed to edit what he wrote. And
wow.
He edited what I wrote, and we put it all together, and someday I'm going to find the notes and see if I still have them. I've been looking around my house for every vestige of his handwriting.
I can imagine.
I also worked with him on the major addresses he gave on the subject of Lincoln and his unfinished work, both in Springfield, Illinois, at the invitation of Frank Williams. I'm sure you can ask him about that event. Uh-huh. And at the Gettysburg Cemetery, with Frank in attendance on the anniversary of the Gettysburg Address, two widely covered events because they came in the heels of the presidential excitement, and I have his own handwritten manuscript on three ring loose leaf paper in a binder. So anybody who doesn't think he wrote his own stuff, all they have to do is come to me to find out.
My husband is an archivist, and he's going to love knowing about that.
Well, he can't have it, though. I make that clear.
But, you know, you're known as a Lincoln scholar, but I think you can lay claim to being a Cuomo scholar as well.
Well,
you have all the stuff. You have the intellectual memory of his work, his writing.
You know, when he died, Well, let me answer your very kind comment first. When he died, I absolutely froze. My memory froze. I couldn't remember anything. I just reposted on my Facebook account the proper punchline to a story that I told about Bella and Mario. I even forgot that. But the more I've been talking to folks like you, which has been a pleasure and an honor, the more I'm remembering, and people have been writing to me saying it's time for you to write a book about Mario or Bella and Mario.
Yep.
I don't know, maybe it is time, but I will tell you that Mario and I were working on a book toward the end of last year. He was not himself, you know, he was beginning to grow ill. But he had a great idea, and I embraced it, and that is a new book of his greatest speeches with commentary about whether they were heeded. And if not they were heeded, send out the clarion call again. Please read this and remember your responsibility as New Yorkers and Americans. And we worked on it, and we took it to this brilliant editor who, alas, decided he couldn't publish it because it was too political. It was a history house. But he had a great idea. Why not make it the biography of a speech, meaning his most famous speech? How did the keynote invitation come? How did you prepare? How did you write? With whom did you work? To whom did you read it before? What kind of rehearsals? What was the trip like? What were you thinking about?
What was
the experience like? Why did you leave while people were still applauding and get out of town? Why not stay? And, you know, were you worried about being drafted as vice president? Whatever. And then the last chapter of the book would be a bullet point, series of bullet points. Here are the issues that I raised that haven't been resolved. I mean, he talked about income inequality before it became, the national issue of our day.
Right.
He talked about marriage equality under a different phraseology, but the women's right to choose, education, and, you know, a new primer on those issues, you know, keynote two. And, you know, we started to work on it. And then, you know, I was very lucky with Mario Cuomo because I shouldn't have been in his circle. I didn't know him as long as his oldest advisors and friends. But I lucked out. You know, series of coincidences got me there. The Lincoln coincidence was the greatest coincidence, the teachers, the idea, the book. But it ended badly, as they say, not because he got sick, but because I had an accident and fell and had so far three surgeries. We were really doing so well in September, and then in September 30, my infection spiked. I had to have my third operation, and by the end of the 3 weeks, I couldn't really get to him, and by November, he could no longer receive me or talk about the book. And so, you know, it hurts so much because I couldn't finish the collaboration that we started. But I think we have enough material to revive it and get it done if people are interested. And boy, I think they would be. I'd also like to write about Mario, as you point out.
I know you had a very active working relationship and obviously a friendship, but in his retirement, did that aspect of your friendship kind of develop? Did you talk regularly?
We talked often. You know, it was basically it came in spurts and floods, and then it would recede a little bit. You know, he was a very busy lawyer and had some very important negotiations and cases he was involved in. You know, people don't think that he had an active legal life. They think that he sort of just stopped being governor, which he did. But he was a very strong negotiator and arbitrator, something Frank is, too. Yeah, but I mean, that's how Mario Cuomo got his start, as an arbitrator and community organizer, as they say. In famous disputes, you know, huge disputes in New York City about housing and that no one ever thought could be solved. And he solved them and brought people together. So he was doing that again, but happily for him, he was getting paid for it. But even in the Madoff claims, he was involved in that with the New York Mets ownership and the Madoff claims. If it wasn't for Mario Cuomo, there probably would be no New York Mets.
Wow.
Now, whether there really is a New York Mets is another issue. But they wouldn't have been, definitely, if it hadn't been for him. He saved the baseball team. There's a little irony because he started out as a baseball player.
This is an interview with Harold Holzer, a Lincoln scholar and friend and colleague of Governor Mario Cuomo, who died last week. This is Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, coming to you from Wesleyan University's WESU 88.1 FM Middletown, now in its 75th year of providing community radio that matters, and rebroadcast on the University of Connecticut's WHUS 91.7 FM stores, UConn's Radio for the People.
It's a medical breakthrough, a doctor's prescription to help prevent cancer and improve survival rates. But you don't go to the pharmacy, you go to the supermarket for fruits, vegetables, and other high-fiber vegetarian foods. Side effects may include increased energy, healthy weight loss, and lower cholesterol. For a free recipe booklet, call 866-906-WELL or visit cancerproject.org. This message brought to you by the Cancer Project, committed to preventing cancer and improving survival.
But I'm taking a greyhound on the Hudson River line. I'm in a New York state of mind.
In the interest of maybe setting the record straight if it needs straightening, the obituaries have focused quite a bit on the Hamlet on the Hudson, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering if you had any involvement there, if you want to talk about whether that really is a defining characteristic of his. It doesn't sound like he was a waffler. And yet, this is
something... the journalists, no disrespect intended, cannot bear the absence of news. The vacuum is what kills them.
Right.
And Mario Cuomo was incredibly thoughtful and debated with us, his staff, about whether an idea was valid, well-researched, well-thought-out. And the debates went on for as long as he believed they should to be resolved. And I don't know why that was his method, but it was. It was, in a way, very Lincolnian.
Mm-hmm.
Lincoln often said, I haven't controlled events, events have controlled me, and people say I'm too slow, and, you know, I may be slow to move forward, but when I put my big foot down, I never step back.
Mm.
And Mario Cuomo was like that. And what's wrong with a little introspection?
Right.
And what's wrong with every time we were celebratory about some triumph? He would say, we've done good work, but we can do better. And he also said, think about how the other guy feels.
Wow.
Great memories of a great man. Just, there's a flood of them. I'm sure we'll be hearing them in the next few days. But all of that stuff about Hamlet, like, I mean, it's his thoughtfulness that made us better thinkers ourselves.
But do you think he would have been a great president?
I do. I think he would have been a philosopher king, a philosopher president. A Jefferson, but who had more faith in national authority, a Lincoln.
Right.
I think he would have been a Lincoln.
Did you urge him to run?
Mm, I don't think I'll talk about that part.
Uh-oh.
I'll save that for my book.
All right. I have
to reconstruct it, but...
That's more than fair.
I will say that he... As he said to 60 Minutes, I'm just seeing the clip again, you know, he called himself the man who was the son of immigrants, who was privileged to become governor of the greatest state in the greatest country in the only world we knew, what we know. And he said to 60 Minutes, you know, my parents came here from the other side and worked in a grocery store before they knew how to count. The owner taught them how to count, and then they got the grocery store for themselves and eked out a living. And I grew up reading in the back room, leaning on a sack of rice because it was comfortable. He said, and I became the governor of New York State. Why would anybody want to do more than that and want to be more than that? And I think he loved being governor of New York and was really fully satisfied and preferred it to anything else that people insisted that he wanted, that he had to do, whether it was serving on the Supreme Court or running, you know, in a 1 year pressure filled race for president. I don't think he needed it for his own self fulfillment. We may have needed it.
Well, that's it.
And I think he thinks we did okay with Clinton, and we survived.
Yeah. Well, I want to let you get back to your real life. I pray that your memories sustain you. I don't know what to say. It must be a searing, searing hurt, and may time heal.
Thank you. It's a searing hurt, but I know, as another cliche goes, that it'll be replaced by absolutely wonderful memories that I feel lucky to have had the opportunity to register.
Thank you, Harold Holzer.
Thank you for having me on.
That was an interview with Harold Holzer, an advisor to Governor Cuomo and a very good friend. Up next, an interview with retired Chief Justice of the Rhode Island Supreme Court, Frank J. Williams, a Lincoln scholar, collector of Lincoln memorabilia, and friend and co-author with Governor Mario Cuomo, who died last week. This is Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith on WESU 88.1 FM Middletown, for 75 years bringing you community radio that matters and rebroadcast on UConn's WHUS 91.7 FM stores, UConn's Radio for the People.
Did you ever have to make up your mind and pick up on one and leave the other behind? It's not often easy and not often kind. Did you ever have to make up your mind? Did you ever have to finally decide?
Welcome, Chief Justice Williams. As I live and breathe, we meet again.
Well, it's my pleasure, and it's been far too long, Maria, since we really had those great conversations when you were with the Providence Journal.
Well, we will get all caught up.
Yes.
I first of all want to express my deep, deep condolences on the loss of your colleague, Governor Cuomo.
Thank you. And I think I told you when you reached out that I didn't just realize how much he would be missed in this household, because he represents so many parts, not only of the past, but of the present, and his hopefulness and governorship was, you know, just amazing.
How is it that you and the governor came to know one another?
Well, it was definitely through Harold Holzer, who was already a dear friend because of the Lincoln fraternity or Lincoln sorority. And so Harold brought us in, brought a whole bunch of us in, Lincoln people. And we met him that way, and we produced Lincoln on Democracy, which was Governor Cuomo's idea. And he and Harold wrote it, but I provided a piece, as did many Lincoln scholars like Jim McPherson and Mark Neely and others who were all contemporaries then.
And this was the meeting at the World Trade Center.
That's right. That's right. And the governor was very enthusiastic and very approachable, and we hit it off. And he knew I was an Italian-American, as was he, and that even, I think, cemented the relationship. Not as intimate as with Harold, but because Harold was a confidant and part of that early Cuomo days. But we understood each other. And politics didn't really matter, Maria, because I was pretty much on the right, even though I was an independent. And he was pretty much on the left, maybe the far left. Mm-hmm. But it didn't matter, because I think we had the same view about the public and serving the public and the needs of the public. And I'm tickled over all of the labels that they give the governor, a progressive liberal and the end of liberalism. And but you know, he himself eschewed labels. He did not want to be, and he didn't want others to be described by any particular sobriquet, so to speak.
You know. Just to interrupt, if I may.
Yeah, please.
In your email, as we were setting up this chat, you said not only that Governor Cuomo was sui generis, which I love, but that he brought you to the center. And at first I kind of took that spiritually, but I think you mean it politically.
Yes. That he, and this helped, I think, when I, at some time after, became a trial judge, and then on the Supreme Court in Rhode Island, because it brought me to a level playing field. And I think despite his progressiveness, which he certainly was progressive, he had this sense of fairness and fair play, and I think that helped my own evolution.
What are some of your fondest memories?
Well, the fact that he had a great sense of humor, and he was self-deprecating, and when we met, he was always enthusiastic and trying to encourage me to run for office. This was before I went on the trial court, and the fact that he was very loyal, and I like to think that I'm loyal, as you are, and Harold is. And when I was a candidate for the Superior Court in Rhode Island, he was supportive of that. He wrote a letter of support to the then Governor Lincoln Allman from Rhode Island. I'm not sure how much it helped. It certainly did. And then when I was a candidate for Chief Justice, he wrote again. And this, I will never forget that.
That so, must be a treasured letter.
It is.
Did you know him well enough to feel that you can talk about his Catholicism?
Only to the extent that of his being judicious, that he could personally be against abortion, for example, but against advocating that as a public policy. And we would talk about that as we would eschewing labels.
Yeah.
And at first, I must admit, it was very difficult for me to differentiate or distinguish. But the more I thought about it, and the more I grew and evolved, I think I understood and respected his position. The thing about Governor Cuomo that I don't think many people realized, and I think frustrated him both in his dealings with his constituents, the public, and the print media, was the fact that he was a very complicated, deep-thinking intellectual. And not only a great debater, but a great advocate for his positions. And I think he himself was conflicted.
What do you mean, conflicted?
Whether he should run for president or not, the time it took him to decide, the way he was treated publicly, disdainfully by some as being indecisive, which I think is unfair. You know, Lincoln figures prominently in the Cuomo legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, his paradigm, which I think governed his whole political life, was to paraphrase Lincoln, to do for the people what they cannot do at all or do so well for themselves.
It's the same quote that Mr. Holzer used.
Now, that's him. I mean, that's the governor. And like so many people, Lincoln touched this man, this leader, a fine person, as he did me and Harold and millions of others.
Right. And in your case, just as in the governor's case, practically from childhood.
Yes, and I think that's another reason why we bonded, because he and I knew that, as he did with Harold. Because I don't think money, for example, as with me or Harold, is really the primary objective or mission. It's the preservation of the republic and democracy, and how do you do that?
Well, you know, it's funny. I don't even know how I know this, but somewhere along my consciousness of Governor Cuomo, I remember learning that he was a very big fan of St. Thomas More.
Right, Sir Thomas More, right.
Right, Sir Thomas
right.
More before
right.
the sainthood.
Yes, he did.
And who was a lawyer and a chancellor,
right.
you know, under Henry VIII, and
right.
lost his head for it. And I don't know, I just feel like in some essential ways, Thomas More was a model for him.
I think that's very true, as Lincoln was.
Right.
And it's like, you know, we Gabor Borat, our friend who retired as a history teacher and as a Lincoln scholar at Gettysburg College, made the great phrase, the right to rise, to describe Lincoln. But that's Mario Cuomo, too. And that's millions of Americans who come here, or whose parents came here, are coming here now with the hope and opportunity and chance to rise. That's what we've got here. And that's where he came from. That sense of family, too. And that's what Italians are about, as are other ethnic groups. But I think you know how important family is to Italians. And
how about the fact that he practically waited to die till after his son was inaugurated for his second term?
Well, I'm not surprised at that, and because I think he willed it. Now, I'm a great believer in willfulness, not for anger or hate or negativity, but for good. And he was willful for good.
Yeah.
And I think, despite their own infra-family competition, which there was, I think this was part of that willfulness.
Are you saying that he was in a bit of competition with his own son?
No question.
Oh!
I don't think there's any question. I don't think there was any. I don't think Governor Cuomo could be in a room in which he would not feel competitive.
Fantastic.
And I think a part of this, and please forgive me for saying this, Governor Cuomo, I think part of it is the insecurity that each of us carry in our own souls, and that this is the way he reacted to his insecurity. By being competitive with even within his own family.
Interesting.
But in a loving way. It's not like, you know, competitive to the death, but competitive for life, because what he did see, and many photographs that are making the rounds now, Maria, are with him. I hardly recognized him with glasses on, at the election, at the re-election of his son, Andrew.
Right.
And I think, you know, when Andrew was first elected, I emailed the governor, and this is the expression that's become very common with him: "We are blessed." And I think he really meant that.
You used the term self-deprecating. I can't really imagine that.
Well, he can be make jokes on himself.
Really?
Being ugly, being Italian, being the son of immigrants, and he would do that. And sure, I mean, he had an ego like we all do, but I think he was able to control it. And I think he could be tough. You know, toughness is good today.
Right. Oh my gosh! I think especially in New York.
Right, and I miss that. I mean, I miss that in our leaders. I think we need that kind of toughness.
Yeah.
People to tell us how the cow ate the cabbage, or what's going on here. And
how the cow? That's a new one.
Right, just like the Tinker's Dam.
I was just
going to
say that. Right.
You had to look it up in the OED.
You had a million of them.
Right.
Do you think he would have been a good president?
Yes, I do. I think he would have been beaten up unmercifully more even than President Obama.
Yeah.
I think Governor Cuomo, I'm speculating, of course, but
sure.
I think he would have been more effective. Why? Because, not because he's a better person than President Obama, but because he had more of that street experience. That's so telling, and the beatings, figuratively the beatings, that public officials and judges too undergo.
Did you ever talk with him about that choice to run or not to run?
No, I never did, because I respected it. Although I had picked. I'm saying this facetiously now. Harold knows this. I already had my corner office picked out in the Pentagon to become Secretary of the Army, because that's what I really wanted to be.
Really?
Even before being a judge.
Well, there's still time.
Well, I don't know who'd pick me, and I'm getting older. You know, I'm getting a little long in the tooth.
So, would you consider yourself a friend of Governor Cuomo's?
Yes, I do.
What was that like, just knowing him on a personal level?
It was good. It was not, you know, no. There was no pressure, no sense of as happens many times when you're in the presence of public officials, of, you know, a favor or a position something like that. It was all family, really family, and that's what the discussion was about.
You've got quite the lovely background noise.
Oh, that's just my Sirius radio going.
Oh, the radio, but also the chimes.
Oh, yeah, the grandfather clock.
Aw.
I hope that doesn't disturb this interview,
no,
Maria.
No, it's perfectly fine. It adds texture.
So
let me ask you, in your mutual interest in Lincoln, did you come at the subject in a similar or a different way?
He never used it, nor should he. He's his own man, as much as, let's say, Harold and I have used Lincoln or tried to relate to Lincoln, at least publicly.
Like you would use him in your rulings, for instance.
And speeches.
Right,
And talks, which I still do, many, and talking about the judiciary.
Yes.
What kind of a judge would Lincoln have been, for example?
Right.
So I think he was more discreet, mm-hmm. but still effective.
Maybe I'm not taking anything away from you, because you certainly have done this yourself, but maybe the governor, rather than quoting Lincoln frequently, more embodied his approach to his work.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I'm not sure we ever went full circle on the thoughtfulness that you and Harold talked about and that I alluded to.
Finish.
Because here's the problem. Here is the major problem that I think confronted him, the governor, and me as chief justice or a trial judge. You just don't have the time today to be reflective,
yeah.
or to get those few extra minutes, never mind seconds, to come up with a more thoughtful resolution. And it's one reason why I like mediation,
right.
as Governor Cuomo did, and he was very, and as Abraham Lincoln did, by the way.
Right.
But he was an inspiration. The governor was an inspiration to me for continuing with mediation, even when I was on the bench.
And in his own retirement.
And it's right, and exactly. And you do have time to reflect, because there's just you as the mediator. There are the parties, their counsel, and you take the time to listen. Most of them want you to listen to their story, even more than the outcome. And it's all about that.
Yeah.
And we stopped listening, Maria. And I think that frustrated Governor Cuomo, and he said it,
yeah.
I think, in different ways, as it does all of us who try to do good.
Well, we're almost out of time, Justice Williams. Is there anything more you feel like you'd like to add?
Well, other than the governor will be missed, I didn't know how much. I think he's left a great legacy. And I hope to see biographies of him that tell all this story, that are inspiring as he was.
From your mouth to God's ears.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was an interview with my friend, former Chief Justice of the Rhode Island Supreme Court, Frank J. Williams, who knew Governor Mario Cuomo well and shares his memories with us today. And that's all for this episode of Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith. Many thanks to Chief Justice Frank Williams and to Harold Holzer. Our prayers go up that time will heal their sorrow about this great loss of their friend. Because this is Wesleyan's winter break, we'll be back next week, bringing the wit and wisdom of Commonweal Magazine's movie critic Richard Oliva, who will be reviewing the films Exodus and a smaller, much less spectacular movie, St. Vincent, with Bill Murray. We'll also speculate a bit as the Oscar season gets underway. Meanwhile, don't forget to check out the blog, reasonablycatholic.com, for bells and whistles of interest. If you do give to the station, please let me know by contacting me through the blog, and I will send you, from my own collection, some spiritual reading with my hearty thanks for your support. I'm Maria Johnson. Thanks for listening. See you soon.